Welcome to Frenzy on the Podcast, right here on Movie City News. So, today I am unbelievably nervous because I'm about to speak to John Malkovich, who is just one of the greatest actors. I've loved him so much for so long. I remember seeing him in the Line of Fire when I was 10 years old in the theater and being absolutely terrified by him. I'm still kind of terrified by him. But he's in a new movie called Disgrace, which is a really, really good movie about life in post-apartheid South Africa. It really does not go where you would think it would go. It's based on the book by J.M. Coetzee. So let's talk to John Malkovich. Okay, so first of all, I just want to say this is it's an honor for me to talk to you. I've been such a big fan of yours since I was very young. I remember seeing In the Line of Fire and The Sheltering Sky around the same age, and it was left a very big impression on me. So
thank you very much. Thanks.
And so your new movie Disgrace, I thought was really, really great. I was actually surprised by how much I liked it, and it's being someone who's seen a fair amount of movies doing this for a living, you know, it's very rare that I get a chance to see a movie having not read the novel where I had no idea where it was going to go. And I thought that was, you know, it was done so well because Anyway, I'm just going to start asking you questions.
But
I really wanted to know how you became involved with Disgrace, and had you read the book before the script came your way?
Yeah, I did know the novel Disgrace because I know quite a few of Coetzee's books, and oddly enough, I'd already been offered two projects that were based on novels of his before Disgrace. Mm-hmm. So I was pretty aware of it, yeah. And had read it, obviously, etc. And then it just came through really the normal channel, sent to my agent who sent it to me, and quite a deal of time later I met with Steve Jacobs, who directed it, and then I think that was the autumn, probably, or late summer of 2006 or so. Mm-hmm. And then we made it in the beginning of 2007.
Oh, wow. I think. And so what was it about the... I mean, it's such powerful material, and it's really... It's a very adult movie. And I mean, dealing with themes of, you know, power and sexuality, and was it those themes that appealed to you? Was it the character that first struck you?
Not so much a character who, I mean, quite frankly speaking, I wouldn't necessarily have read that book and think, I would really love to play David Lurie. Mm-hmm. I didn't think anything of the sort when I read it, but then I don't really think that very often anyway. No, it's just I think Coetzee, who won the Nobel Prize, is a great writer, one of the great stylists, I think, in the English language. Mm-hmm. and writes very deeply and profoundly about people, and so I liked the book and I liked the screenplay, which I thought was a very good adaptation. Mm-hmm. and that was really why I did it.
Right. So for you, the character that you're going to play is perhaps not the driving force behind why you would choose to be a part of a film. It's more about just...
Yeah, normally not, because of... You know, I've done a few films that, where I played quite let's say flamboyant characters, but meaning flamboyant in, even if only in the possibilities the characters offered. But if the film isn't good, it really doesn't matter.
Right.
You know, that's not worth doing a film for.
Right.
You'll just be disappointed.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so when you play a character like David Lurie, is it important for you to be able to... I mean, I found him to be a sympathetic character, especially towards the end of the film. And I was wondering if that's important for you to be able to sympathize or relate to the character.
Not so much sympathize or relate, but understand them at least action to action.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, one shouldn't forget that part of your understanding of the character comes not through just reading it, but through the playing it. Meaning, when you go into a scene that proceeds in a certain way, that informs your knowledge of the character. And it, I don't want to say dictates, but highly influences the choices you make afterwards. Someone mentioned earlier today the scene when David Lurie goes to apologize to the girl's parents.
Right.
See, I found that actor so powerful and so clear and clean that really when you get there, your choices are made for you. And maybe with a different actor, you'd make very different choices.
Right. Well, I guess film as a medium is such a collaborative process, and everyone kind of is almost like a cog in this giant machine. And if you do your...
Well, you are.
Yeah.
If even a cog. I mean, sometimes, you know, you're just a meat puppet. But if you're an actor and you're alive to what you're looking at, your peers and your comrades are going to have a massive effect on the evolution of your character, not just the evolution of theirs.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, I found the film to be, I mean, it's so rich and it's so dense, and I felt like there was a lot of ways to read the message of the film, and which, I mean, for me, that's always my favorite kind of film, a movie where I might see something, I might see the film one way, and I know that the person sitting next to me is going to see it completely differently. And I was wondering if you're more attracted to material that may have a, you know, that may not have a clear-cut, you know, moral or message that is a little bit messier?
I don't know, if I'd say I'm more attracted. I would just say I recognize it more because it's more lifelike.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there is often a catholicity of reasons why people do what they do, why they feel what they feel, why they take the actions they take, why they don't take the actions they don't take.
Mm-hmm.
And it just reminds me more of life.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and a lot of films, obviously, that's not what they set out to do at all, and that's fine too, but they, you know, a lot of those films, even, I've always thought this, even if people really love them when they come out, and even if they're really praised when they come out and very successful, mm-hmm. or very noted, or very, the word really I'm attempting to avoid or is trendy.
Yeah.
In fact, when you rewatch them, you say, what did I like about this?
Yeah.
And I don't do that very often.
Yeah, well, you don't want to be in a film that's instantly dated. Yeah.
Well, that just, you know, there's a lot of that kind of flavor of the month thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think those things make the best films.
Yeah. Well,
they sometimes make successful ones, but not that you'd want to watch again in 2 years.
Yeah. Well, I remember reading a quote by, I think it was actually by Ethan Hawke, and he had said that he had been talking to a producer who, and basically the gist of it was that the producer's like, well, you know, you don't want to be making films that are going to be playing at Film Forum in 30 years. And Ethan Hawke was like, well, actually, I kind of do. Because
yeah, sure.
You want to be making films that are going to have a lasting impression, like you said, instead of just being a blip on the radar.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't so much care. You know, people ask me, I mean, I'm more than old enough now that people ask me, how would you like to be remembered? You know, I don't particularly want to be. But why should they? And why should I care, especially when I'm dead? I'd rather think that I didn't wholly waste my entire life on this planet, which is, as far as I know, so I'm told, the only one I have.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah. Well, I think you've always created, you know, kind of, you've created characters that have left, like, an indelible impression, at least on me. But I feel like recently you seem to be on a real roll after Changeling and Burn After Reading, both of which I really loved, and now Disgrace. Do you find yourself as happy with your recent output as I am?
Thank you. I don't think about it, honestly. I've always been pretty hard at work. When my kids were little, I did much littler parts in things that I could do quickly so I could be home more.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, a lot of it is what, you know, I'm not one of those actors who can say, I want to do this or I want to do that. First of all, my brain doesn't work that way, so it wouldn't really work anyway,
mm-hmm.
Even in the sort of hypothetical. But, you know, when you're an actor, you choose from amongst those things that you've been chosen for. You know, a couple of times when I said to directors, I think at least once they were kind enough to meet with me, that I really wanted to do something, they didn't have the slightest interest in me doing it.
Mm.
And I'm sure for very good reasons. So, you know, a lot of a career is what comes your way, and for a catholicity of reasons, what are you proposed?
Yeah.
As work. And, you know, I've always loved the Coen brothers, and I think in one film, and a really long time ago, 8, 10, 12 years ago, they had wanted me to play a little part in something, and it didn't happen because I lived in Europe, and I don't know why, I don't remember why, but I've always liked them and always wanted to work with them, and always really liked what they do and loved the experience. But if the opportunity hadn't been proposed to me, then obviously I wouldn't have been able to do it.
Right.
Because I guess there are some people who you can ask, you know, hey, I'd like to, you know, do this. Maybe they'll say okay, but not so many in my experience.
Right.
And so in the theater, I've often self-generated things, and I've generated things in the movies, but always as a producer, never as an actor.
Right. Well, I've been a fan of your work as a producer as well, and also I loved the Dancer Upstairs, which I thought kind of was was a very underrated film. But
thanks.
And I thought that Art School Confidential was a very underrated film as well. I was actually one of my favorite movies of that year. I really thought it was. I thought it hit the mark so well. But
yeah, I thought there were terrific things in that movie. I think we could have had a better resolution in the last kind of 20 minutes, but I think there are really good things in it, and I love Dan Klaus and Jerry Zweigoff, Dan, who wrote it, and Jerry directed it, and we did Ghost World with them before, and we're always trying to figure out something else we can do with them and get done, but you know, I just never felt comfortable saying, you know, trying to generate things for me to act in, because to me it's always more interesting to see the range of things you're proposed,
right,
that people think for some reason you're the person that should do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always think, why me? okay.
But
fine.
But I know you're very busy today, so I will get you out of here on this last question. I always ask everyone this, and it's one of my favorite questions, and that is because it's so vague. And that is, what is your favorite movie?
My favorite movie?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's funny you ask that, because I just had to send. They asked me to do one of the distributors of this film who are organizing this sort of phone day today, because I can't be in America. I have business here in France. They asked me to do my five favorite films, and the first sentence was, you know, I can't really say what my favorite five favorite films are, because my brain just doesn't work that way.
Mm-hmm.
But among the ones, you know, I do like Battle of Algiers a lot, Gillo Pontecorvo's film about the Battle of Algiers.
Wonderful movie.
Yeah, I do like that an awful lot. It seems to me a pretty perfectly calibrated and conceived movie. But I like all kinds of things. I like seeing the Swedish film this year, the Let the Right One In.
Oh, that was great, yeah.
I thought it was terrific. I like Napoleon Dynamite, on the other hand. I like all kinds of things, which I also thought was perfectly conceived and executed. I like this movie, Elite Squad. Did you see that? Jose Padilla's film in Brazil?
I did. That was a really good movie.
Really good. And I see every year, I can't really say favorite. If I had to, I guess I'd say Battle of Algiers. I like The Conformist a lot, too, though.
The Conformist is a great movie.
You know, hard to say.
Battle of Algiers is one of those movies that the music is so... It's just stuck with me, just that opening theme. And I went to go see Inglourious Basterds recently, and and they use a little clip of the music from Battle of Algiers, and instantly I was just like, oh my god, that's Battle of Algiers.
Yeah. I haven't seen that yet, I want to see it. Yeah, it's an awfully good film. I mean, it's pretty close to perfect, I think.
I agree with you. But anyway, well, thank you so much for talking to me. And
not at all. Pleasure. Thanks for your interest. Glad you liked it.
And yes, and I wish you the best for of your, luck.
And you too. Thanks for your remarks on Dancer Upstairs too and Art School. Appreciate it.
Yes.
So take care.
All right. Thank you. You too.
Okay. Bye.
That's all the time we have for the podcast this week, folks. Thanks again to John Malkovich. Disgrace is in limited release right now. You should definitely see it. As always, you can email me at noah@moviecitynews.com. So take care.